Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 331, top of the day to you, Steph.
Hello, how are you?
I am roller girl, what about you?
Hang on, I just had to translate that in my brain.
Really good.
It's like, where's the space? Good.
What I think is interesting
is
that I'm wearing a jumper and I'm a little bit cold and you're wearing a singlet top.
I've been in and out of cold, hot all day. Like all of a sudden.
One of those days.
I'm like, where's a blanket?
Yeah.
And then other times I'm feeling a bit toasty.
Mm.
Like my cheeks feel toasty.
Really?
Yeah.
You were doing stuff and I was lying on my bed trying not to fall asleep. So I understand why I'm a bit cooler. Mm. Not as in, hey.
No, we all know. We all got that. You didn't need to explain yourself.
But it is that time of the year where
don't know what to wear.
Yeah, and it doesn't know what it should be.
Yeah, it's freezing Arctic temperatures in the morning, and then by lunchtime you have to pull all your woolen stuff off because you're about to die.
When I was driving this morning, which is admittedly 5 o'clock in the morning, it was 13 degrees, my car said.
Hmm.
So, yeah.
Poof.
It is the changing of the seasons and it does affect us with our reason, and the dark clouds are here to stay. Catatonia.
Yeah.
I thought I'd give it a go. We had so much fun doing a quiz last week, not yesterday,
yeah.
That was a random one.
Yeah.
And you did quite well.
Yeah, I'm awesome at this quiz business.
We're going to do another one of those coming up later on.
Another random one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
In the program.
You watch as I just crash, burn, fail.
There might be one that's a bit difficult and the others are just like, give it a crack.
I thought you were going to say, there might be one that you get.
There's a running, not a running joke. I think after this week it will be a running joke.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Golly.
Which will be, oh, it's so golly. Exciting. I'm gonna get ready to turn your microphone down as you scream and laugh with it, or else just get confused and don't even remember what the running joke is at all. Are you ready to get into the news?
In a world that time forgot, we are the Watchers.
So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, the Office reboot.
What?
Now, we've had Office versions. So we've had the Ricky Gervais one, obviously, the original and the greatest one.
The Office.
We've had the American one, which copied, I believe, the English one quite closely for a while and then kind of went on its own path and had major success on its own, had more episodes and seasons as well. And now we're going to have a reboot, which has a couple of people that you might know.
Mm.
And I'm going to be really bad at both of their names.
Okay.
But when you look at their photographs and I tell you what you've seen them in, you'd be like, oh yeah. I'm going to try being Irish for a second. Domhnall Gleeson, there's a photograph of him.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And Sabrina Impacciatore. Now, she was the very stressed out hotel manager in
White Lotus.
Season 2, which was set in... It wasn't. It was
the Amalfi.
I thought it was right down south.
Sardinia. I don't know. I can't remember.
Anyway,
somewhere beautiful that we all wish we were.
We all wanted to be there, but she didn't seem to enjoy the fact that she was there in the show. At least it was quite stressful for her. There was a lot going on outside and also inside.
But that's the running thing for White Lotus that the hotel manager is
losing
not coping.
The plot. Mm. She coped well. Compared to
season one.
Now, he and her, so let's call him Dom and Sab.
Yeah, okay.
Call them both that. They are the first cast members to have been announced for this new reboot, and it's going to be NBC, so it's the American version, which I think is so interesting that they've got an Irish and an Italian as the two main stars. Because if we remember, Steve Carell was in the original one, for the US, I should say. And that was set in Pennsylvania. It was still a paper company, stationery, like the office in the Ricky Gervais, the original one, was. Now, this will take place in the same universe and will not be a complete redo of the two that we've already seen. So maybe they are going to be in different countries. Maybe, I don't know, like stationery is stationery, right?
Working from home.
Ooh, interesting. Will they be in the same place together? I mean, they're both very funny.
Yeah.
Or at least she is. He's been in a comedy or two. I remember seeing him in a comedy with his brother and his father. I can't remember the name of it, but it was quite funny.
Mm.
And he played like this dumb guy, you know, just like,
yeah.
It was the dumb brother of the guy who was hopeless as well, but he was the dumber one.
I'm not sure how I'm feeling about this Office reboot, I'll be honest, but I'm intrigued. And I'm going to trust them that they know what they're doing more than me.
I'm going to give it a go because of those two actors.
Yeah.
I'm just interested. Even if it's like the first episode. Now, they won't redo, I think, the first episode. Because if you remember, the first episode of the American one followed quite closely with the first episode of the English one.
Yes. So
if you're a massive fan of the English one, you're like, well, what's the point of me watching this? So hopefully they don't do that.
That's an odd. But was that around the same time they did the American Kath and Kim?
Potentially, yeah.
So that's what they were trying to do, just literally redo.
But also it was of that time when you didn't have all these streaming services they're like, this is the show. It's from, I don't know, it's from Portugal, but this is the show. Instead you'd be like, this is the show. We're buying the rights for it. We're going to make it in Australia.
Yeah. I mean, like musicals do.
Yeah.
You buy the rights for a musical and production is Australian based or it's
game
UK
shows,
based.
Reality shows as well. They tend to do it a lot more than they do for dramas and comedies these days. But it was the case with all fictional series as well. So this, we're all going to get it, I assume.
Yep.
NBC, what would we get that on here? I've got no idea. Netflix will grab it, or Foxtel, a bit of binge perhaps.
Hopefully somebody.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get to watch it. Kit Harington was a bit sad when I think he had a character in Marvel Universe that was people were like, we don't like it. And he was like, oh, I'm sad. I thought that was going to be my job for a bit. And they were like, we're fans and we're angry.
Fans and internet, they get a bit righteous, don't
internet.
They?
It's mainly internet, isn't it?
Well, it's all the same people, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, true, true. And then there was also the word that his Jon Snow spin-off of Game of Thrones was not going ahead. And we're like, oh, poor little kid. This is not fair. He was such a big star, you know, with Game of Thrones. He was Jon Snow. Now, it has been announced that he is going to be playing kind of a bad boy. A bloke called Ricky, a drugs and arms dealer who works for a cartel in a show called Blood for Dust. They're calling it, the genre is neo-Western.
Okay. Sure.
A Western movie, you know. Maybe they're going to have a lot of this kind of talking.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Bit of boots, some dust.
A little bit, yeah.
Maybe
a horse. I think a fair bit of dust. Yeah. I think so. He said, I rarely get the opportunity to play the Rickies of this world, the antagonistic dirtbag types, and I was excited to be presented with that. So that's really cool. I'm glad that he's going to have to do an American accent. He probably will have a moustache, they said. Maybe go on to have another really great series that people are all.
That doesn't. Fall away.
That doesn't end really badly.
Yeah.
Doesn't end in a really crap way.
Protective of him.
Me too. I think he's a nice guy. He's a bit caring. Hey, I'm going to be talking about this show a little bit later on, Fallout, which is the version, the series version of the video game.
Yes.
And at the beginning of every episode, it says based on the video game Fallout, which I really like the fact that they still call it, you know, we all call it video game, but a lot of people just call it games now, right? Because they're just games.
Yeah.
You just play a game.
Gaming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they say based on a video game, the video game Fallout. Anyway, it has had a season two confirmed this past week, which is very exciting. And I'm only two episodes in, so I don't want to read too much of this article that is talking about the fact that it's getting a season two because they're like, oh, yeah, and it's really good because we'll know at least one iconic monster that we're making its debut. And I'm like, well, if I can cast my mind back to the Fallout games, I've only played a couple of them, but if I can cast my mind back, I've got one big creature that I can think of. Otherwise, I don't know, and I probably don't want to think about it too much. You know what I mean? You kind of just want to keep it as a little surprise and secret.
Yeah, enjoyment.
Yeah, yeah. So that will, I'm assuming, come out next year, and it's a bit of a win for Bethesda, who are the video game makers of that video. They own the IP, the intellectual property of it, and I think maybe they should start trying to remake some of their Fallout games. Apparently on Steam, the Fallout games have been like number one and stuff. Like they've had a whole heap of people buying Fallout. You know, some of these games are, well, the original Fallouts, I don't even know how old they are, but I remember Fallout 3 would probably be 2010?
Really?
12, something?
Golly.
Probably 10 earlier.
And that was 3, so 1. Wow.
Yeah. Now, 3 is the one that I think this series is more based on, just based on what I've seen of the first couple of episodes, that, you know, the character is very much like the character that you play in that game. Yeah. And she has to try and find her father. The father actually was voiced by Liam Neeson in the game, but this is Kyle MacLachlan. So, yeah, more of that to come in our future. So if you haven't binged it yet, try and take your time so that you don't get through it and then go, oh, well, now
don't
I have to
run
wait.
Out.
Yeah, 365 days for the next one. Callista Flockhart is an actress.
She certainly is.
And she's married to
Harrison Ford.
Very good. And he is a
Star Wars character.
And
an actor?
Yes.
Oh.
But she was in Ally McBeal, and I think that's probably the biggest thing that people would remember her for, right?
Yeah, she's of a definite era.
Yeah, absolutely.
But she was massive.
Massive. It was a legal drama, a bit of a comedy, all mixed in
Dancing
there.
Dancing Baby.
Dancing Baby. But she said she felt on trial whilst at the top of her game.
Well, yeah.
With the most success.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
So that was 5 seasons worth of Ally McBeal. Started in 1997. Yeah, that sits about right. And she said that it was so popular with viewers, and the media was like all over her and wanting to know everything about her, that even at the time, Time magazine back then suggested, this is from a Deadline article I'm reading from, suggested that Ally McBeal signified the death of feminism with the female cast members with too many short skirts and being far too skinny. And I remember there was a lot of talk about her and how skinny she was and her weight.
Person.
And she's a very little person, but you knew, you could just see the look of her. Mm-hmm. You were like, that is just you anyway.
Yeah.
It doesn't, you could eat everything in a supermarket and you would still be quite slim.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. But she kind of felt like she was on trial for something.
Yeah.
Even though she hadn't actually done anything. Anyway,
look, I think there's a lot to unpack in all of those statements.
And there's probably a lot that people want to talk about in hindsight and compare and contrast now.
Absolutely,
because so
historically back in the late 90s, that was the look. It was the only look that was acceptable on film.
Absolutely. And so, magazines were still big then. You had all the fashion magazines.
So is Ally McBeal
a
to be blamed?
Of her time?
Well, absolutely, but is she to be blamed for the end of feminism?
Yeah, I think they were a little alarmist with that one.
Just a
tiny little bit. Yeah, maybe a bit. You can find her in on Disney Plus, the Ryan Murphy production, which is Feud Capote versus the Swans.
Mm.
So she's in that if you want to catch up with what she's been up to lately. Of course, I mean, her husband is just as busy still acting.
Yeah.
They're all the busy family. Very, very busy, but not as busy as us because we've been watching stuff and we need to talk about it, okay?
Gosh, Harrison, just like I wish you could just see my schedule.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
My turn. I have to go first. This is so important. I watched... Here we go. Blade Runner 2049.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
I'm not sure why, but it kept popping into my mind the past few weeks, and I'd never watched it. And I had seen the first one, Blade Runner, from the 80s. I didn't watch it in the 80s. Can you imagine if I watched it in the 80s?
No.
Stupid. I watched it for uni, and then I watched it a few years after that just to be like,
I watched it with you when you watched it for uni.
I think we didn't know what we were going to watch. You know, sometimes there are things that you need to be prepared for.
Yeah.
And I don't think, I mean, we were probably going in going, it's probably like Star Wars and Indiana Jones.
I don't know what I was.
Well, that's all we would have seen him in. Oh, except for Working Girl.
Yeah. Yep.
So all those things are a little bit different than Blade Runner. So I thought I'm going to give this newer version a go, the sequel. And I love the world that it's set in. I think also because I'm playing Cyberpunk.
Okay.
2077. And it really looks very similar. I mean, Cyberpunk, yeah. I don't know, may have been
based off it?
Or I think maybe the board game, like the game was invented in the early 80s as well. So maybe it was just a thing that people were talking, you know, a genre, a time. That people were really into. Ryan Gosling, this came out, I think it was 2016 or 2018. I think it might have been 2018. So in my mind, not that long ago because, you know, COVID, but it actually is a while ago. He looks really different. Mm. Now, I watched a video on my phone, so just to give you context, on your phone means a really dumb video that you shouldn't have watched, but you did anyway.
Yeah, go on.
That was all about a plastic surgeon talking about how Ryan Gosling got fillers in his face and when he got fillers in his face. And then I started thinking about, right, when he was at the Oscars and he was performing the song from the Barbie, movie, and I'm like, he looks a little bit different.
Mm.
And then they put a photograph of him around that, you know, around the Oscars based on another photo from several years ago, not that long ago, maybe around Blade Runner time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, his face is puffier. It's puffier.
Mm.
It is. So I got to see him in his
natural state. But then again, men do get a little bit puffy in their middle age.
Yeah.
Like you could still.
How old is he? I'm going to have a look whilst you talk.
Mid-40s?
Probably.
I mean, you can still work out and be fit, but, you know, we all get the jowls.
43. Because this is not going to help anybody but you, but there's a photograph of him. That's kind of like the Ryan Gosling that you think. I've literally just typed in his name on Google, so they're probably the two photos that you will see as well. And then the second one is this one. Cheeks are a little chubbier. Bit of a chipmunk thing going on.
Yeah. It's under the eyes that gives it away.
Mm.
Oh, Ryan, I thought your face looked fine before. Look, the Oscars is high stakes.
Yeah, of course.
And it's high stakes in everything, and people spend many, many months of plastic surgery to prepare for the Oscars. And that's not just females.
Yep.
So
totally get what you're saying.
He works in that industry. Do we expect anything different?
He has to do it. And, you know, now he's been nominated for a couple of Oscars. He's been in massive films, you know, critically acclaimed films like Barbie. And, like, so you could pretty much pick any film that he's been in has been critically acclaimed. Fall Guy is his new one with Emily Blunt. And that looks like a lot of fun as well.
Yep.
So I mean,
he was in the Mickey Mouse Club.
He was. He was in some really big time stuff. So I think if we just want to say, Ryan, we appreciate you because of your amazing IMDb filmography list.
Mm. Your talents are endless.
We have noticed, but we will overlook them. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah.
That's what we're doing, right?
Yeah.
And also Blade Runner 49. I'm getting mixed up with Cyberpunk 2077. You shouldn't have years that are too close to now, really.
2024?
The latest Blade Runner. It's pretty good.
Nice. Wasn't expecting you to say that.
I watched it in three parts.
Yeah, but that's life these days.
That's how I watch it.
Name one thing that you've sat down and watched from go to
three
home.
Three parts all the time now. Oh, I made myself laugh by that. I might as well just make a mini series just out of the
same
impact.
That's how I do. That's how
Yeah. Unbelievable. Now, you've watched a series on Netflix that yes. I have heard you talk about. Mm. And just today, I've heard two other people talk about it. And
yeah,
they were really big on it and mm-hmm. a lot of good stuff to say. So I'm interested to see what you say.
It's Baby Reindeer on Netflix. And it, just to give you a background, it's a story that follows a writer and a wannabe comedian. Well, that's the character, but it's based on a real story of writer and performer Richard Gadd. And he was in this, what they call a long-term stalking situation.
So he was being stalked on?
He was being stalked by a woman. And it lasted, I think in real life, it lasted about 4 years. Oof. It's a really, really long time.
Wouldn't you get bored of it, like for her? No, obviously not.
Well, but what's really interesting is the story. And I've read articles where he's spoken about it, and a lot of his real story is what's depicted. Of course, things have been changed, you know, to protect people's anonymity, all of that sort of stuff. But a lot of it is true. Now, I know if I had to say to you, it's a mini series, it's a limited series, it's about a stalker, there'll be some eyes rolling and people being like, oh God, like here we go again.
More you.
Yeah. Oh, people standing in dark alleys and jumping out at you with a knife and that sort of stuff. It's not that at all. It is one of the most riveting, intriguing and disturbing things I've seen in a long time. It got a perfect story. It got a perfect score on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
And that was the tipping point that made me, I'm going to watch this right now. Because it's not often that you get something with a perfect score.
Mm.
It's got this beautiful storytelling way where the main character narrates it and you really crave that narration as you go through. But what it's really going through is this feel of the long-term stalking where it's that slow drip effect and all of the emotions that go through it. You know, you're a little bit curious about this person. They're a little bit weird. They keep coming around. So, you know, they admire me. Do I feel a bit good about that? Do I have a bit of sympathy for them? Do they actually have issues? Are they mentally unwell versus violently crazy? So do I try and let them down nicely, which ends up leading them on? It's this really, really interesting way of how a person can deal with something so essentially terrifying. But he's a really flawed character. So you're never quite sure of who you want to side with. And there are times where you start, as a viewer, start feeling sympathy for the stalker. And you think, this is incredible. It's a must watch. It's only 7 episodes. They range in different lengths. Some are 24 minutes, some are 40 odd minutes. It's a good one.
Mm.
It's really, really good.
That sounds like one of the top watches for, you know, at least the first half of the year.
100%. I would almost say it's one of the best things that I've watched this year so far. The storytelling is out of this world. It just feels like you immediately get it captivated by it and entranced by it, but you almost feel like it's not something that you've ever watched before.
Mm.
It's really good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Reindeer something.
Baby Reindeer.
Baby Reindeer.
Now, can I just say,
yeah,
it is based on a true story, and over the two, three, 4 years that he was stalked, he got something like 41,000 emails from her, 150 hours of voice text. And throughout the series, you see the texts come up.
And they're real.
They are actual texts that he got. Not one of those was made up for the story.
Can I ask another question as well? That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Is he... Like, was he stalked because he's famous?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I think what it boils down to was he stalked because he showed her a little bit of kindness and she took that as more than what it was.
Interesting. Okay, so normal person getting stalked.
Yeah, look, I mean, he's not the most normal person.
But I mean, like, not a superstar, you know.
He's absolutely not a superstar. He's a wannabe comedian. He's not even an anybody. He's essentially a failure.
Yeah, right.
But he's dealing, there's a lot of backstory about him throughout the series, and I don't want to give all of that away.
Okay.
But it's heavy, and he's an extremely flawed, upset character who can't cope with himself as well.
Sounds like the perfect person to go and watch to get a giggle out of, wannabe comedian.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
I mean, you see some of his act and you're like, none of that was funny.
Okay. I feel sad.
I feel sad. Really awkward watching it.
Okay. All right. I watched Fallout. As you know, I've only watched two episodes. And I was listening to Kind of Funny podcast, and they were talking about how they watched it. And it was really interesting, and I love this debate because I've definitely moved to the event weekly watching camp, because Fallout came out all at once.
Yeah.
Amazon released them all at once. And I went, there you go. And then it's become a really big success, right?
Yep.
A big show that people are talking about. And on the podcast they were talking about whether that was a good idea, because now how long will this be a massive thing that people talk about? Like the next couple of weeks?
Yeah,
tops?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Or if it comes out every single week for, you know, 10 episodes or 10 weeks or something.
The conversation lasts longer.
And then they were also saying how it's nice to get those endings of an episode. You know, they're often like cliffhangers or you go, oh, my God, like reveals. And it's nice to have a week to have a think about it, to talk to each other, you know, about it, instead of going, well, now I'm just going to watch the next episode straight away. And then not being able to talk to people because you're like, what episode are you up to? Are you only up to four?
No, and then often people can't remember exactly which episode. So you run this risk. And then there's a competitive nature of people.
Oh, I finished it.
I watched the whole thing.
In one day.
Oh, you only watched one episode. Oh, my God.
Give it another go.
Yeah.
So I think I do like the put it out once a week. And I wonder if because it's been picked up by Amazon for another season, if they'll do it that way then, because they know they've got a hit now.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't know. You know, it's been a bit of a hit and miss, hasn't it, with video game-based movies and TV series recently. We talk about The Last of Us, which was massive, but then you talk about other things like the Uncharted
really
movie.
But it's a really fickle
audience.
If you don't get it right, they will turn on you. So that's a huge risk to put it out there, because the storyline of a video game is not going to last you through several seasons, right? So you're going to have some creative license or extend the storyline in some ways, and people might not like that. So maybe drip feeding it.
A drip feed is probably a good idea.
It lets people.
Because that's what you do with those games. Well, you know, the big open world games. How often do you go, I'm not doing the main storyline. I'm going to do four side quests and also just walk around this area, see what I stumble across.
Look, I'm sure there's not some people who go, I'm going to sit down for 24 hours.
Just mainline it.
But I feel like those people are not my kind of people.
No.
Because if you don't go on a tangent here and there, who are you?
You're missing out on stuff. You know, what if you mainlined, I don't know, whatever. Let's talk about Fallout, right? You mainline Fallout, and then you don't know who the guy with the chickens are. You know, that kind of thing. You're just like, I don't know who that is. And you're like, well,
you missed out. You're gonna have to go back to the beginning.
Yeah. It's got the tone of the show, it's got the tone of the game, and it's got more as well. I think there are so many wonderful moments in it where, like, she's just walking around almost looting, which is exactly what you do in the game.
Yeah.
And she's just looting. The stim packs are hilarious, especially with the dog. I thought that was really good, which is they're basically like a health pack.
Yeah.
You know, the dog is lying down, you know, looks like, oh, that's the end of the dog. Someone gives him a stim pack and he jumps up straight away.
I like that.
It's so funny.
It's a bit comical rather than like, let me go and get you some food. Here's your bowl.
Exactly. It was really good. What else have you been watching?
Okay. So I started this a little while ago. and forgot about it. And I've come back to it and realized how much I do actually enjoy it. And it is Eva Longoria searching for Mexico.
Oh.
So you know how Stanley Tucci has done Searching for Italy.
I've watched one of these, maybe with you. I've watched one of them.
Yeah, they're everything. They're beautiful. Your taste buds just are dying, basically, because they just are desperate to get in there.
Yeah.
Stanley Tucci has released a second season. I'm going to watch a couple of episodes of that before.
It's on demand now, SBS.
Yes, I've started. But I'll leave my recommendations for later. Anyway, Eva Longoria has one about Mexico.
She lives there.
Yeah, she keeps talking about how the time in the US and Mexico. So
she goes back for work.
I think she goes back for work, but is based in Mexico. The thing about this show is it's so beautifully shot. It is a food show, but it's also a travel show. You go, like, the first episode was Mexico City. If you're going to think of cities, it's probably not the most beautiful city that you would go.
It's one of the biggest, isn't it?
Yeah. But it's shot so stunningly
that
you think, I want to go there. Yeah, I want to walk down those streets.
I should probably eat there.
Yeah. Of course, she goes into, you know, 5-star restaurants and cooks up their things. She goes out into, you know, a family who in the Yucatan who they cook underground.
Wow.
And she's there in clearly the costume department and production didn't talk that day because she's in like a white
pantsuit.
Okay. She's like digging with her hands in it. But I thought, good on you. Yeah. In there, you'd know that.
She's probably like, not my outfit.
It's not my outfit and it's actually more important for me to get in and
get the shot.
Understand this culture.
Yeah.
But there are really fun ones where, you know, they're talking about the different cultures of the different regions. So it's historical and it's educational at the same time. They're beautiful shows. There's one thing where they were in quite a fancy restaurant and he was burning the chilies and burning them to a charcoal and they were just turning black. And Eva Longoria's like, is anybody else not coping? Obviously, the scent was going to her eyes and her sinuses and she's looking.
Tissues.
You know, she's breaking that fourth wall and looking at the crew and being like, anyone? Like, is it just me? But then they present this beautiful dish that's served on charcoal bits of wood and there are these chili skins that are charcoal.
Oh, and you peel that off, do you?
No, you just eat
really?
It.
Really?
So the burning, the charcoal of it takes away the intensity of the heat and just creates this beautiful flavor. But the whole thing is served on this, you know, pitch black darkness of night bowl with the charcoal wood and then the charcoal things. Everything's black. And she's saying, do you ever get people who are picking up the charcoal and like trying to bite into it?
That'd be me.
And he's laughing.
That'd
he's like,
so awkward.
Yeah, you see them like that, they crunch, but it doesn't go anywhere. Anyway, it's available on SBS On Demand. Beautiful. And if you love Mexican food like I do, to go to the authentic ground root cultures.
And also the trendy.
Yes.
You know, them playing on their own culture, exactly. Their own cuisine dishes.
Yeah, and seeing how something as simple as the tortilla, how differently it's made in the different regions. And she's there making it. She's like, the way they make it's completely different to how I've grown up making it.
That's really cool. Oh, what's the actual name of it?
Eva Longoria.
Oh, well, then
Searching for Mexico.
You can't miss it then. Yeah. Do you feel like doing a quiz?
Yeah, okay.
I've called this quiz.
Quiz.
Random part two. All right. me. How many Lethal Weapon movies are there?
Oh, 45? Well, 8, 9, 12, 11. Oh, I don't know. 7.
4. Who's Jake Gyllenhaal's acting sibling?
Maggie.
Mm-hmm. Name this Maggie Gyllenhaal film.
Oh, no, I haven't heard of her in a long time.
A free-thinking art professor teaches conservative 1950s Wesley girls to question their traditional.
Mona Lisa Smile.
It's our running joke from now on. I think that's three episodes in it.
I saw a picture of it come up on some social and I was like, oh, I'm going to lose this one. It's funny. Must have been listening to us again.
I choked myself with that one.
Oh, don't choke yourself.
What streaming platform is Jack Ryan on?
Prime.
Mm. God, we've gone through these so quickly.
It's because I'm on fire today. I'm good with random. Clearly, I'm good with random.
All right, let's swerve again. How many seasons are there of Rugrats?
15. 12. 9. Okay, I'm not good with the number of seasons of things.
Last question. Name the two actors starring in the second Joker film. It's not out yet.
How would I know that?
Oh, I'm surprised you don't
know.
Okay,
give me initials. Give me initials.
All right. Well, the first one played Joker in the first one and won an Oscar for it.
Jackie Boy? No?
Yeah. Why are you calling him Jackie?
Jack Nicholson.
No. Parenthood? Diane Weiss's son.
You're Phoenix.
Yucatan Phoenix. Yep.
River's brother. Yeah.
And then the other one won an Oscar for the film with Bradley Cooper about singing songs. And Emma, it was a remake on a remake on a remake. She goes by her stage name, not by her name which you share.
Oh, Gaga.
Mm.
Oh, Gaga.
It's going to be a musical.
Fun.
The sequel's going to be a musical.
I enjoy her work.
When I first heard that that was going to be what it was, I was like, that's really weird. But those two actors, okay.
He can sing. He was Johnny Cash. He
mm-hmm.
can sing.
Mm-hmm. They've both won Oscars. This is going to work.
And is it set in Manhattan? Batman?
Oh, no. Is it Gotham City? Yeah.
Yeah. Batman.
But what if they just go? I don't think Batman's in it, right? You could just go Broadway, the old streets of old New York. Go like walking through Bronx and Queens before Fran Drescher was there, you know?
Before they were cool.
Yeah. Maybe.
The meatpacking district.
Yes.
It was like
before Samantha moved in in Sex and the City. God, I love that you knew that reference.
It's the only reference in the meatpacking district. Oh, it's so good. The drag queens are on the street.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, I might have to watch that episode again. Do you want me to go and make chicken schnitzel for dinner?
100%.
Then we have got to go. So on that note, Stephanie, thank you very much.
Your chicken's going to Mona Lisa smile me.